Lord is working in each of our lives. And as he wants to work through this time that we have set aside specifically to glorify him, and he does that in a lot of different ways. And when we're open and surrendered to him, man, he can do awesome things within the corporate setting of the church itself. So I just hope that tonight that you're really encouraged by this, and that maybe some of these scriptures, I have a lot of scriptures, and I don't know if we're going to be able to get through all of them, but I just really want to, I just really want it to be something that is fruitful for each one of us as we look at this, because it is an exciting place. It's an exciting thing that the Lord has really done in our lives. So let's just open up in a word of prayer. Lord, we're just really thankful for your word. We pray that as we look through these scriptures, Lord, that you would be glorified in what is said and what we, the places that you take us. And that's one of the amazing things of sitting in a corporate setting like this, how your spirit really communicates with each one of us, because you know exactly where each one of us is at. You know what our day was like. You know what our family is like. You know what's coming up. You know all things. And Lord, that is amazing. And it is something that we can rejoice in, and that we can know that your spirit is going to be working in our hearts and our lives, and you can minister to us through this time. So I just thank you for that. I thank you for each one that's here tonight, and what a blessing it is to have fellowship together. And it's something that we can really take for granted, as we know that there are lots of places in the world where their getting together is, it has to be secret. It has to be in a place where they have prearranged, and sometimes they can't even get together. And so, Lord, we just thank you, and we don't want to take for granted what you do here in this setting. So, Lord, I thank you for each one. Lord, we do. We lift up Jeff to you, and we just really pray that as he's out of town here this weekend with his grandsons, I just pray that you would just really pour out your spirit upon him and bless him. Lord, that your goodness would be with him as he is ministering to his kids. And what a blessing that is that he's able to do that. So, Lord, we come to you now with open hearts, surrender to you, and we pray that you would speak to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse that I'm going to start out with, it is in 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6. And it's a verse that I actually came upon in my studies at the end of the time. But I thought that I would lead it. It's in the end of my slideshow here, but I thought that I would lead with it. The Lord just really showed me that I need to lead with this, because this is what it's really all about. 2 Corinthians 3, 4 through 6, and it says, "And we have such trust through Christ towards God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." I mean, that is an awesome, this is what's happened in each one of our hearts as we were born again as a new creation, you know, into this new life, and he has made us ministers of the new covenant. I was really blessed when Mark was talking about the word, and you were sharing, and you asked the question, where does the old covenant and new covenant, where's the transition there? What is the place of transition? What is old covenant? What is new covenant? And I think that that really bears into what we're talking about here too, as far as the Spirit. The cross, and that's what Mark made it very clear, and I thought it was really great. It's not Matthew. It's not the Gospels. It is the cross of Jesus Christ, where the new covenant, and there's a whole change in things. And not a doing away with, and this is the amazing thing, not a doing away with what was before. The law, what was written, the letter that's talked about here. It wasn't a doing away of that with that, or it was a fulfillment of what everything that had been spoken of earlier. And that what really gets me excited, because that makes the Old Testament still very valid and very useful today in our lives, in the way that we look at the world around us. It still does, because the Spirit of God has breathed life into everything that was written there throughout the Old Testament. You just don't throw that away and not deal with it anymore. No. It's amazing because this is, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The Spirit breathed life into that old covenant. And so, and Jesus fulfilled it. You know, all the sacrificial system, all the ceremonies, all of those things, it's beautiful when you go through the Old Testament, and it becomes a great help for us in understanding the work and, you know, the power of Jesus. I've been reading through and studying with the young adults the book of Hebrews, and that's what it's all about. It's about the new covenant. It's about Jesus. It's about defining how Jesus perfectly fulfills all that was in the old covenant. He is the perfect high priest. He's the perfect, you know, king. he's perfect in all those ways, and he has given us something that is just so beautiful, that relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. We're going to start off here looking at the Holy Spirit as a person of the Trinity. And this is one of the things that you'll find, and this may be something that, you know, you've heard over the years and all of that, but I want to give you some verses that really help to define that. If you're like me and you've talked to people that are in cults, and because we see that all around us, especially here in the United States, the different belief systems that are out there, they, you know, they'll say that the Holy Spirit is an arm of the Lord or some power of the Lord, but there's not a personality, there's not a, you know, there's not a person there. The United Pentecostal Church, they teach that the Holy Spirit is a part of the mode of God. They teach modalism, that there is not a Trinity, but that there is, there are different modes, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit that God fills and uses at different times. How about this? When I was talking to some Mormons several years ago, it was really a great time that the Lord really gave to me with these guys. Young guys, you know, they showed up at our door, knocking on the door. They wanted to come in and talk to me. And, you know, their lead-off question was, you know, what do you think about a prophet on the earth today? Wouldn't that be great if there was somebody that could speak the mind of God to us today? You know, and they're going on like that, and I'm going, yeah, yeah. I mean, that's awesome. That's really great. But as we started talking, I just listened. You know, I just listened to their whole, you know, all the things that they were saying. And at one point, and we spent a long time out on my patio just really sharing and talking mostly, I was just listening to what they were saying. And it came to a point where I said, you know, I don't really need a prophet actually to lead and to guide me. For one, I have the Word of God, but I have the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in me. And he speaks to me and he teaches me through the Word and through his leading in my life. And they were just completely and totally shocked by that statement. They didn't know what to say. It was like their mouths dropped. And, you know, that was one of those cases where I was able to really talk about the Holy Spirit to someone else apart from a believer. And it was really a blessing. It really, you could, you know, have you ever had those times where you're sharing and all of a sudden, you know, it's like you can hear a pin drop because they're just so grabbed by the things that God is doing and what he's speaking to them. That's kind of the way that situation was. And it was a real beautiful moment where the Holy Spirit was really working in these young guys. They ended up coming back and yeah, it was really a neat time. But that was one thing that really hit them, that the Holy Spirit was in my life personally leading, guiding, teaching me. And we're going to come to some scriptures that talk about that. So the next verse we have here is Genesis 1:2. And I just wanted us to see that the Holy Spirit is involved in God's plan from the very beginning. The Holy Spirit was here in the creation story. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God was working in the midst of that creative time. We know that that God spoke and all things came into being. We know in Colossians that Jesus, it talks about Jesus being the one who created all things. Matthew 3:16 is another verse that's really good that shows us just this relationship that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have. It says when Jesus had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. These are two, you know, amazing and, you know, miraculous things that God has done where the Holy Spirit has been involved in the working that is going on there. When Jesus was baptized at this point, and when his ministry really began as his public ministry began, the Holy Spirit was involved in that. Later on, it says in Matthew 4 that, you know, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's what Jesus says. I should have written that down. Preach the gospel. Somebody want to help me out? Heal the brokenhearted. Open the eyes of the blind. And what? Yeah, there's four things there. But the Holy Spirit was there upon him to do those specific things in ministry. And then, you know, so the Holy Spirit has been involved in God's plan for sure, and especially surrounding Jesus. And the birth of Jesus, we see some pretty amazing things happen. There were prophecy that was spoken over him as, you know, before he was born, and we'll see that scripture here in a second. Here's really a good one that really shows us that he is not just some kind of an inanimate object or some inanimate power that God has given or that he uses. This is a scripture that shows us that he is a person and there can be acts against him. Mark 4:29 says, "But he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation." That's a really good one to show that he's not just a mode of God or something like that, or a power of God, or something that is not personified, but because you can't blaspheme against something that doesn't have life. Acts 5:3, again, another one. "But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself?" The Holy Spirit is, we can lie. We can lie to the Holy Spirit. Another one is 1 Corinthians 12:11. "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." So we see that the Holy Spirit has a will. There is a will that is associated. And we know that, you know, we as people, all those things that God has breathed life into, they have a will. The person, they express their feelings. They express the things, motivations, things like that. There is a will that is there in the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 also talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." So all of those scriptures kind of bring to head, and you could probably think of more. I'm sure there's more that are out there that really show us that the Holy Spirit just isn't something that is, extension of God's power. No, he's the person of the Holy Spirit ministering and working in our lives. So from that point, I want to go to the place of where the Holy Spirit in the Old Covenant. I think it's really important for us to understand that the way that God has dealt with man has been different over time. And, the plan of salvation, salvation has always been by faith through the grace of God. That has always been constant. But how God has used and has worked, how he has enabled men has been different. And in the Old Covenant, we see some interesting people that are filled with the Spirit and that are used by the Lord and have the Spirit in them. or at times, and we see that the Holy Spirit is taken away at times, which is really quite interesting when you think about that. And this is one that I think is really interesting in Genesis 41:38. This is one of the first times that the Bible really talks about the Spirit of God being in a man, and this is from the perspective of an unbeliever. Pharaoh said to his servants concerning Joseph, "Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?" And he goes on to say, "who has wisdom and understanding all things." And when you read, you know, about Joseph, I mean, it is amazing the things that God shows him. Through dreams and visions, he's able to interpret those things. God had a specific plan. And God uses Joseph in a mighty way. I mean, it's amazing how God uses him. And it was the Spirit of God in Joseph that was working for God's will to be done in that time period. And we see that in Exodus chapter 31, 3 through 4. I love this one. This is Bezalel, who I might have got his name wrong. But he's the one that was going to do all the artwork in the temple when God gave Moses the plan for the tabernacle and all of these amazing things. This is a verse that I've always loved. "And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic works, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels, for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." I mean, isn't that amazing? I mean, all of those things. And we think that the Holy Spirit and the working of the Holy Spirit sometimes is just, you know, about, you know, the gifts of the Spirit, you know, the spiritual things. Not necessarily. You know, I've thought about that in my job that I do. You know, I do estimating, I do putting these submittals together. And a lot of times when I'm with it and when I'm really in, you know, really connected to the Lord and walking in that, you know, that close place with Him, I'll say, "Lord, help me with this. Help me get this done." You know, it's a real physical thing, but we see from this that the Holy Spirit is involved in these things. These very physical, normal things that we do. I didn't tell you I was going to do this, but Deanne, I was I know I'm just bringing this on her. Okay, so she shows up at the church to do these paintings. And she shows me these things that you're going to do. And she's talking about how she's never painted a hand before. Never painted a hand. And if you go back in the children's ministry and you go look and you see the paintings that are back there, that's awesome. That's really amazing. That's really a blessing. When I go back there and I look, and I did because you got the, I did today because you got the day where the fish, you know, the, yeah. I mean, that is just really, really neat. The whales and the hand that's there. I mean, just really amazing what the Lord is able to do when we really surrender to Him and when we allow Him to do even these menial things in our lives. So even in the Old Testament, you know, God was doing this. This was, you know, the tabernacle was a beautiful place and a foreshadowing of a lot of things. And especially it's a foreshadowing of the Spirit of God dwelling within us as a tabernacle. God's Shekinah glory was there. I can't even imagine being around that tent, you know, and seeing God's glory just shining out of that place. And that was an amazing thing. And God filled him with the Spirit to be able to do all that crafty stuff. Judges is the next one, and this is an interesting story that I don't know where you guys stand with Samson, but wow. How do you even, you know, I taught through that a few times, and what do you even say about the guy? I mean, he was just caught up in his own thinking, his own life, his own fleshly desires, and yet we see that God uses this guy. And that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him in a mighty way to bring, you know, freedom to the nation of Israel. I just, every time I read through that portion of Scripture, I'm just dumbfounded by that. Judges 13, 24 and 25 says, "So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move upon him at Mahoney Dan between Zorah and Eshtol." From the very beginning of Samson's life, the Holy Spirit was moving on his life. The Holy Spirit was moving to accomplish God's will for the nation of Israel. Really pretty amazing. 1 Samuel 10:6 talks about Saul, King Saul. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you." And this is what Samuel was saying to Saul. "The Spirit of the Lord is going to come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." A couple verses down, it says that when he walked away, he was a new man. He was a new man. He was filled with the Spirit. And later on, he met the prophets, and this exactly happens. He starts prophesying, and all the people go, you know, look at each other, and they say, "What is going on here? Saul is with the prophets now, prophesying?" Then we see later on that, after Saul had sinned, God was looking for a man after his own heart that he could fill with the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Samuel 16:13, "Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed David in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." So we see that, in this passage, the very next verse is interesting too. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." So we see here that, in some of these, like Samson, like Joseph, I mean, you wouldn't call Joseph necessarily a judge, but Samson was definitely a judge. Samuel was a judge over Israel. And here we see, that this king, these kings were anointed with the Holy Spirit. And so in the Old Covenant, it seems that the Lord would anoint these people that were filling an office that was within the nation of Israel, a king, a prophet, and we'll see some of those here in a minute, a judge, someone who was a ruler. They would have the Spirit of the Lord upon them to do God's will within the context that God had put them in. And I think that that's really important for us to see that. There are so many of the judges where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord coming on them. Ezekiel 11:5 is another one that talks about the Spirit of the Lord falling upon Ezekiel. "Then the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said to me, 'Speak thus, says the Lord. Thus you have said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind.'" So we see that the prophets really spoke out of that Spirit of the Lord coming upon them, giving them, in many cases, boldness to be able to speak God's word to the king, to the people, wherever the Lord had called them to speak. And we see that over and over again in the Old Covenant. And this is an interesting one, and I threw it in here because it's New Testament, actually, but it's Old Covenant too. Luke 1, 42 and 4, or 41 and 42, and also it's a woman. So I wanted to throw all these together that, the Holy Spirit works in many different ways. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" There was a prophecy given over Jesus at this point. He wasn't even born yet. And yet here is Elizabeth prophesying over Mary and over Jesus. It's awesome what God did here in this situation. And this is that old covenant. It was before the cross, before Jesus was born, and God was working in this way. Micah 3:8, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of justice and might to declare to Jacob his transgressions and to Israel his sins." So we see there that Micah was full of power by the Spirit of the Lord to be able to speak and to testify of what was right and what was truth to the nation. Ezekiel 36, and this is where we see Ezekiel talking about the new covenant and how the new covenant is going to come into play. And this is Ezekiel saying this in Ezekiel 36, 26 through 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This is an amazing prophecy that Ezekiel gives in the restoration of the nation of Israel. And I believe that this is fully going to happen. Let's look at this next one. Jeremiah says similar things. Jeremiah 31, 33 through 34. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, says the Lord, I will put my law in their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. I mean, that is an amazing prophecy that, hey, maybe in our lifetime, maybe here coming up, we're going to see this happening where the Lord, you know, brings the nation of Israel. Well, we actually won't see that, the nation of Israel coming, I don't think, if you're ascribed to the pre-trib rapture. But this we see that there that the Lord is going to do this in the nation of Israel, that they are going to be saved, that they are going to be drawn into God's plan once again, and they are going to be the center of what God is going to do in the end times. I get really excited about that when I think about that and just what the Lord can do and what he will do. And this is why, you know, let me take just a second and talk about that. I know that there's a lot of the church that doesn't necessarily believe that these prophecies are going to literally be filled in the church. There's a lot of different groups out there in the church that don't believe in the literal fulfillment of this through Israel. They believe that the church is really the one that this is talking about and that we are grafted in, which we are grafted in to these, the new covenant. You know, Romans makes that really clear that we're grafted in by the blood of Jesus Christ into the new covenant that God has given to us. But this is the, there are a lot of different theologies out there that don't really believe that Israel and all these things will happen literally in the nation of Israel. I can't go down that road, because I see so many things that God has literally fulfilled throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. I see so many things that are so literal that have blown the socks off of people all through the ages, where God has literally fulfilled what he said to the team. I mean, in amazing ways, where it just lines up. I mean, Jesus and the birth of Jesus is just amazing. I mean, the religious leaders, they had no clue of what was going on. They weren't even clued into what was going to happen there. But there was a literal fulfillment of all of those things that that was predicted by the prophets and that God spoke through his prophets in the Old Testament. And so I just really get excited about that, because God is going to, I just really believe that God is going to do everything that he said he was going to do with the nation of Israel. Everything. Not one thing is going to be left undone. It's all literally going to be fulfilled. And that, what that speaks to me of is God's amazing faithfulness. That we can take literally the things that God says, and we can put those into our life. We can make that a part of our everyday, moment by moment, living for him. And to me, that is glorious, and it's amazing that we can have that kind of confidence in our life. And so when I look at this in the Old Testament and I see that this new covenant is going to be established with the nation of Israel, I'm really thankful that we are grafted into that new covenant and that we are part of it. And I don't know about you guys, when you were saved, I don't know what your story is or what your testimony is, but do you remember that new spirit within you? Do you remember him putting his spirit within you and causing you to walk in his statutes? I remember thinking when I was a younger when I was in college or around that age, I was amazed at the fact that it seemed like some of my decisions, they weren't really decisions at all. It was like all the circumstances just kind of lined up, and it's like, duh. Why wouldn't I do this? Because it was the Spirit of God moving in those situations. He moves within us, and he gives us that heart of working through those areas of our life and standing in the areas of his will and his work that he wants to do in and through our lives. Now we come to the Holy Spirit in the New Covenant. John 7, 37 through 39 is one of my favorite verses that really talks about this, because Jesus makes it really clear that there's a change that's coming. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So we see a difference here between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jesus had not been glorified. The Spirit had not been yet given in the ways that were promised in the Old Testament, that he would be in us. John 14, 17 talks about the first two ways that the Holy Spirit works in the lives of believers today. There are three ways, and there are three prepositions that are words that are used to describe the Holy Spirit in our lives: being with us, being in us, and being upon us. In John 14, 17, we see the first of those two when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he had told them that he was going to go away, that he was going to be crucified. They were really bummed out, and he said, "Remember, let not your heart be troubled." You know, because their hearts were really troubled. And this is part of the comfort that he gave to them. The Spirit of truth, in verse 17, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So, you know, they had a knowledge of the Holy Spirit being with them, and they had seen, and, you know, we see the Holy Spirit even in our lives. We see the Holy Spirit working around in the situations. Later on in John 15 and 16, he talks about, you know, the working of the Holy Spirit in different ways, and that he is leading people to conviction. He's with the world, leading them into a conviction. But then there's this idea that he is going to be in you. And that's where this really becomes so exciting. And for the disciples, that really happened at a moment of time in John 20, 22. If you remember that, he breathed on them. He was meeting with them after he was crucified, and he was raised from the grave. He breathed on them, and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And at this point, this is where I believe that whole new covenant relationship that was promised in the Old Testament really came to life in their lives, that he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit into their lives. And we see that receiving of the Holy Spirit is essential in the life of the believer. It's essential. It sets us apart. It sets us apart for his glory. It sets us apart for his work. It sets us apart in our lives. We become that new creation sealed for him. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." That is a seal. You know, I think we've seen movies or whatever where they take the wax stamp and they put it on the letter and, you know, they stamp it with their signet, and it is sealed for only the eyes of those who, you know, it was addressed to. I like that idea that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit only for the Lord. I mean, that's a purifying thought. It's a blessed thought to really think about that we are sealed for his purposes, for his sake. And not only that we are sealed because he is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So that seal of the Holy Spirit is a guarantee that we are going to inherit that eternal life that he has promised to us. As we trusted in the Lord, as we put our faith in him, we have been sealed for that day. 2 Corinthians 1:21 and 22 talks about that as well. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. I mean, that is the blessed hope that we really have, that we have that guarantee of our salvation and we have that Spirit sealing our lives. And I think that that's really important for us to remember as, you know, we go through difficult times of temptation, difficult times where we're dealing with situations in our life that are depressing or that are, you know, that are overwhelming in our lives. I mean, we all go through those times. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. His presence is in our lives. He is working in all things, in all situations, even when we are down, even when we are depressed, even when we are feeling, you know, whatever, ravaged by the world, ravaged by people around us. Maybe our rights have been stepped on or we feel like we are always being used. You know, that sealing of the Holy Spirit and us remembering who we are in the Lord, it is super important for us. And, we don't have to be afraid of losing that. Titus 3, 4 through 6 says, "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior towards man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit." I mean, aren't you really thankful for that? The renewing and the washing of the Holy Spirit? I mean, obviously, in that time when we were born again, there was that new life that was given. But, you know, as we live that repentant life with the Lord, as we live in humility before him, as we confess our sins, as 1 John 1:9 talks about, you know, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, you know, regenerating and renewing us through the working and through the presence of the Holy Spirit. I'm just really thankful for that in my life. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said that the Father gives to us liberally of the Spirit. He doesn't hold back, but he gives liberally to those who ask. This same verse emphasizes that. He pours out us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Are we living that abundant life? I mean, that's a really good question to ask ourselves. Are we living that abundant life that's promised in Scripture, where we're walking in that attitude that Jesus prayed, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Are we walking in that? Because that's what God wants to do in our lives. That's why he has given us the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8 gives us another, ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is the third way that the Holy Spirit works upon in us and in our lives, that he'll be upon us. Acts 1:8 says, and this was Jesus promising this to the disciples after his resurrection, before the day of Pentecost, he said, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The Holy Spirit will come upon them. And we know that in Acts chapter 2, 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And it was a shock to everyone who saw that. It was an amazing thing that happened there. It was amazing as they're all hearing many different languages. People from different places were hearing in their language, them glorifying the Lord, and the Holy Spirit had come upon them. The amazing thing is that day the church really was born. The corporate church was really born on that day when the Holy Spirit was poured out. And people saw the effects and the ministry of the Holy Spirit through all those that were gathered there in the upper room. Pretty amazing that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. But that verse there in Acts 1:8 talks about the power of the Holy Spirit. I think Jeff was talking about this a while back, and he gave a really great analogy of that. You know, when it says there, the power, that power, the word there comes from the word that, the Greek word that we get dynamite from. So Jeff's analogy was that when you set off, if you took dynamite and put it in the kitchen and you lit that off, I mean, that place would never be the same, would it? It wouldn't be the same. Your kitchen would not be the same. Boom! Blowing up, you know, it just wouldn't be the same. And that's the idea that I like to keep in my mind, and I think we should as believers. When the Holy Spirit comes into a place, I mean, it changes things. It changes. And I've seen that firsthand in my own life in situations that I've been in at work where it has been volatile. You know, there have been, you know, back and forth kinds of things. And then all of a sudden you sense, you know, I just really need to pull back on this. I just really need to be gentle. I need to not push my way and my opinion in this situation. I need to let go and let the Lord move and work in this. And so you find that the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll read here in a second, comes out of our life in kindness and gentleness. And it completely changes things. Completely changes. The way people react, the way people respond. I mean, that is amazing and practical for our lives. You know, that's a work situation, but how many times at home have you been in a conflict or in a place where you are, you know, you're on the verge of saying things or doing things, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit nudges you and you realize, you know what, that is not the right thing to do. And as you surrender and let go of those things, man, the Lord can really change the situation from a difficult thing to something that is really a blessing and that can change the whole dynamic of what is going on. Here's an interesting verse in 1 John 2:27 that talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the anointing, and it doesn't directly talk about the Holy Spirit in this verse, but it talks about the anointing that we have. And I believe that this is definitely speaking of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. That is a great promise to us that we, in the midst of the situations that we're going through, the Holy Spirit is working there to teach us and to guide us and to direct us. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, you know, sometimes we can feel weird about that or freaked out about that, like we don't have control, things like that. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We always have the ability to say yes or no to the working of the Holy Spirit. Remember in Ephesians, it talked about not grieving the Holy Spirit. Sometimes with our, you know, the things that we want to do or our will or maybe not even responding, not even listening to the nudge or the prompting of the Holy Spirit, we end up grieving the Holy Spirit. We end up not doing the things that God wants to do in and through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. But I'm just so really thankful for this, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in those situations, because we have a lot of, I mean, wouldn't you say that in the Bible, there are all kinds of objective truths in the Bible that are really super objective. I mean, love your neighbor as yourself. You know, do not steal. You know, I mean, there's all kinds of, you know, just really objective, concrete statements that are in the Bible. I'm really thankful that the Holy Spirit has been given to us because he teaches us in those subjective areas of life. I mean, haven't you seen that where you don't really know what to do in this situation, but all of a sudden you have the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do this or that in this situation that really becomes a loving expression of God's presence in your life and his power through your life? That is one of the things that the Holy Spirit does, he teaches us through that that working, that prompting in our hearts. Have you ever been sitting at your desk and you're reading through the Word, maybe spending some time with the Lord, and all of a sudden you come across a scripture that you're just like, what in the world does this mean? And all of a sudden you're praying and you're thinking, man, I don't really know. It seems like this is in conflict with this other scripture or this other idea. And all of a sudden, scriptures start popping into your mind from other places, and there's this illumination happening in your mind, and you're thinking, wow, I didn't know I knew that. I read that. I don't know when I read that. That's amazing, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit is working behind all of that to illuminate our life. And this speaks directly to that, that he is anointing us, teaching us concerning all things. And it's not just some things, but it's all things. I wanted to spend some time on this. I wanted to spend some time on this because obviously there's the chapters in 1 Corinthians that talk about the gift of the Spirit, and I have that listed there. We won't read through all of those things, but you can on your own. But I wanted to give you some practical things that are just really day-to-day, practical things that you can think about. It's in that personal quiet time with the Lord. Sometimes we think that the Holy Spirit is out here doing all of these things, and that we need to be in this situation or do this. I need to be on the pulpit. I need to be there. I need to do this. No, in the quietness of our heart, we need to learn to be still and listen to what the Holy Spirit is doing. I listen to a lot of worship music. I listen to a lot of stuff, a lot of different places. I'm amazed at all of the things that come out in worship music about the Holy Spirit. And some of them are really scary to me to think about, that this is the way that people think about what the Holy Spirit does. Because it puts it in this weird place. When I'm saying no, what I need today is I need illumination for the things that are happening in my life today. I need direction. I need to know how to respond to my coworker. I need to know how to love my wife. In those situations where I am perturbed and when my opinion is just bigger than everything else, I need to know how to pull back and to love and to give and to be gentle and kind. That's where I need the Holy Spirit working. Because when he's working in those particular areas, it's so easy in other areas for the Lord just to move and work as you are in situations. The Holy Spirit is very, very practical. And I think Peter is a really great example of that, of these three areas. That the Holy Spirit is with us, he's in us. And in Matthew 26:75, it says there, and you remember that, Peter remembered the word of Jesus who had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." I mean, we know the story of Peter, all of the great words and the boasting that he had. I'll never deny you. Never. I'm your most faithful guy. Here I am. I'll do whatever you say. And he gets to this place that is really super hard. Here he is in a difficult, difficult spot. And yet he denies the Lord. He doesn't find the power, the strength to be able to do what, what he should have done was stand up for the truth of who Jesus was. He denied Jesus. But we see after he was filled with the Spirit and that Pentecost experience that he had, right after that in Acts 2:14, it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them," he stood up in that situation. He didn't deny the Lord and say, I don't know what happened here. Oh yeah, I think maybe they were drunk, or whatever. He didn't cave to that pressure. He stood up there and he preached the gospel. And at that point, out of that, it's a direct fulfillment of what Jesus said, that I will give you power. It will come upon you to be witnesses unto me. Right in that verse is completely and totally fulfilled right there when Peter did what he did. Acts 4:8, later on, after Peter does, miracles with John and they do other things and they speak, a couple chapters later, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, and he's standing before the rulers there of the Jews, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He goes on and he preaches the gospel of Jesus to these men that are standing there. Here he is in chains. Here he is in bondage, and yet he is proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see Peter as a great example of someone who was, you know, just going along with Jesus in all things, really in the power of his own ability. And yet here, when he's filled with the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit comes upon him, there is something way more powerful there, and he's able to stand up and do the things that God had called him to do. And I think the beautiful thing about that is it's a fulfillment of all that God promises, that God is faithful to do exactly what he said he was going to do. So the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our lives. This is what Jesus taught, and I think that this is really important for us to remember, that when the Holy Spirit works, it's not in a way to show off or to do something for himself, even really. It is in John 15:26. I think that this is really important for us for when we're evaluating, when people are claiming, you know, what is something that the Holy Spirit is doing. Because have you ever had somebody come up to you and say, well, the Holy Spirit said this, or the Holy Spirit did this, or the Holy Spirit led me to do this? I mean, there's some crazy things that go out there. While I believe that God can definitely do all this, look what this verse says. This is a great qualifier for us. And Jesus teaches us that we need to be discerning about what the Holy Spirit does and where his place is and what his ministry is within the will and the plan of God. John 15:26 says, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. That's super important for us to remember. John 16:13-14 says similar things. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He doesn't speak on his own authority. Does that remind you of something? That's exactly the way Jesus was. He didn't speak on his own authority. He spoke what he had seen from the Father and heard from the Father. The Holy Spirit doesn't speak on his authority. But whatever he hears from the Father, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. I'm so thankful for that and for that working in our lives. And then the next verse says, he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So his desire is to glorify Jesus and the work that Jesus did on the cross, the new covenant, bringing us into the power and the work of the new covenant. Galatians 5:22 is another ministry of the Holy Spirit, and this should be happening in our lives daily, really, as believers, as new creatures in Christ. This should be part of what happens day by day in our lives. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Can you imagine what our world would look like if this was what we did? I mean, all of the things that are going on today and all of the conflict and all of the issues between people, all the stuff that we see on Facebook going back and forth and all of this stuff, if we would love one another like this and express the fruit of the Spirit coming out, I mean, that's how things are changed. You know, we can't legislate those things. You can't legislate that stuff. It's hearts that are changed and filled with this new covenant working of the Holy Spirit in the life of a person who is surrendered to God's plan and his purpose and willing to walk out in faith. 1 Corinthians 13-14, you guys can read through that, but it talks about the ministry and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the gifting of the Holy Spirit, very specifically there. And we have. I don't know where you guys are at, how the Lord uses you, but I believe every believer has some gift that God has given to them spiritually that they can do. And one of the notions about that that I think is important for us to consider, a lot of times we see people that are really good at stuff, and we think, well, They're really gifted in that kind of stuff. Sometimes I wonder if that's the case or if they're just really good at what they do, because sometimes people are really good at what they do. What I've found in my life, when I am not good at something and I don't want to do something, it's amazing how the Lord fills me with his ability to do the very thing that I don't feel like I can do. To me, that is spiritual gifting. When God takes something that he has put upon your heart, called you to do, and he's given you the ability to do that you never had before. Think about that in your life. It's not just the things that you can really do. I think we can do anything, you know, to the glory of the Lord, and the Spirit of God can fill it all. But man, I get really excited about the times in my life where I am scared out of my mind because I don't really feel like I have anything to offer or do or give. And all of a sudden, God comes in and just completely blows me away. It's interesting to see that when you look at the life of Jesus, he didn't just manifest one or two gifts. I've gone through, when I've studied through that passage, and I've looked at that, and I think you can probably put, you can put every single one of those gifts somewhere on a list and a place, and you can find a passage where Jesus actually used that gift. It's a good thing to do. Go through the Gospels and look at Jesus' life. Read through it and think about, well, which gifts did Jesus use? Which time? Where did he do that? The only one that I don't think that he really used and we don't see him using is the gift of tongues. I don't see that that was used any place where he used that. So that's interesting. I would encourage you, when you read through that passage, think about that. Where do you see Jesus using the gifts? Because I think most of them, or all of them, are there where he used them. And that's a whole other study that you can go through and look at. We're going to end, finally, with this scripture. And it doesn't necessarily talk about the Holy Spirit. But this is the heart that I think that God wants us to have so that we will be effective in living a life filled with the Holy Spirit. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And it goes on there to say, do not be transformed to the world, or do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This really is where the rubber really meets the road. As we, you know, let go of ourselves, as we let go of those things that often dominate our thoughts and our life, God amazingly comes in and fills us with the work of his Holy Spirit. I don't think it's a real, hard thing. I mean, I shouldn't say it that way. It's a really simple thing. But it's hard for us really to do that in the middle of our life when we're, when we're so willing to follow our own self or our own will, our own desires, our own fleshly thinking. You know, it becomes really hard to surrender to the Spirit. But as we present our bodies as that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, he fills us with the working and with the power of his Holy Spirit. And tonight, that's my prayer. That's my hope for all of us, that we will allow that simple work of God to happen in our lives as we surrender, that we'll just let go and see what God can do. One of the other scriptures that's really good talking about a list of the gifts is in Romans chapter 12 after this, actually. And it talks about faith, and it begins, before it talks about the spiritual gifts, it talks about faith, and that one ministers administration, service, all these different things, leadership, by faith. You know, that's our part. God fills as we trust him, as we empty our life and trust him, he fills us with things that we could never on our own accomplish. We can never accomplish on our own. And that is the amazing work of God. So that We have such trust through Christ towards God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And so that's my prayer tonight. I hope that all of us can walk in and experience, you know, that overflowing, abundant life that God promises to us, and as we surrender to Him. Lord, we just really thank You for this evening, and we thank You for Your word that really leads us and guides us, and we thank You for Your Holy Spirit that You have given to us. And Lord, give us that heart of really surrender to You, that we would let go, because sometimes, I mean, right now the world is talking about rights and who has rights, who doesn't have rights, and who's, you know, at the bottom of the barrel, all of these kinds of things. And yet, you know, You, Lord, You became a servant. You became a slave to mankind. As You gave Your life, You gave up Your rights as God. You came in the form of a bondservant. Lord, You surrendered and sacrificed Yourself for us. And so, Lord, give us that heart that we would be willing to just let go of all of those things that can so easily entangle us, all of our rights and our desires and our longings for all this stuff, Lord, that we would just let it go and allow You to fill up our lives with You. Lord, that's the way that we can change people's lives. That's the way we can be a help in the climate of our culture, by allowing Your Spirit to work in us and bringing peace and love and the fruit of the Spirit through our lives. So, Lord, we just thank You. We praise You for tonight. I pray that You would just bless each one that's here tonight, and Lord, that You would pour out in their families and in their walk with You. And we just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.